Baby's been looking after a house full of wee ones, so she just went, oh. Enjoy, Debbie. Thank you, Phil. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Joe. Yeah. Man, I'm meaning to get you doing that every week. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. It is good to be back home. Praise the Lord. As Susan said, we come home. It was actually the early hours of Monday morning from Hungary. Yeah. So we had Tuesday at home and then on the road again on Wednesday to Walsall, where we were teaching in the school. We had 11 precious hours teaching in the school on the Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and it was just an amazing time. I really believe the scripture where it says, they who refresh others shall themselves be refreshed. You actually shared that scripture, John Minto, when we were travelling. You shared that scripture to me. I'm sure it was you. Was it you?
Possibly.
Yeah. I'll check my text messages. But it really blessed me because that's one of my favourite scriptures, because I believe it to be true that the more you refresh, the more you pour out, the more God fills you back up. Praise God. Hallelujah. So we're just blessed to be back home. And I really wanted to touch on, this was something that somebody said to Susan the other week, but I've heard it a lot in my Christian days. But it was when this person said it to Susan, it really grabbed my attention, because I believe it, but I don't believe... Well, let me tell you what... Have you ever heard somebody say to you that God is stretching you? Yeah? You hear that a lot in Christendom, and it's fine to say it. But when this person said it that day, it really got me thinking about it, because I thought of stretching. I thought of an elastic band. And I thought, if you stretch an elastic band and stretch an elastic band and stretch an elastic band and stretch an elastic band, it will get to a point of breaking. And I thought, my God doesn't break me. I'm not saying, and I'm not condemning anybody that said God's stretching you. I have said God's stretching you. I have said God's stretching me to myself. But I'm starting to get fresh revelation on it, because somebody was brave enough and bold enough to say to Susan, God's stretching you. Because Mags once said to me years ago, when Phil and Mags were first getting to know us, because I love to feed off of people. I just hear your conversations. I might hear one word. I might hear one sentence. And Mags said to me one day, many, many years ago, when Phil had said something, it really caught my attention. And Mags just looked at me. She probably won't remember this, but she looked at me and she went, you're terrible. She said, I don't know how you do that. I said, what do you mean I'm terrible? She says, well, Phil says a sentence and you get a sermon. but it's how I am. I hear comments from people. I hear sentences from people. And God just expounds these things for me. So I'm blessed that that person said to Susan, God's stretching you, because it caught my attention. And I started to ponder, well, does God really stretch me? And really, Johnology, I don't think he does. He encourages me to grow. He encourages me to increase. But I think the whole point of stretching, if you use this elastic band illustration, that if I stretch and stretch and stretch, it's eventually going to break. So this week, you know, we've been doing a lot of teaching, and I'm thinking, man, I'm teaching on Sunday. What am I going to talk about on Sunday? And I was reminded of that sentence, that throwaway comment, God's stretching you. So I've been mulling over stretching and just considering these things. And I want to remind you from Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3, verse 13 says, brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead. And as I've been starting to think about this stretching, God is stretching me, I discovered this week, as I've been mulling that over in the midst of all this teaching we've been doing, I've been thinking of these things as well. If I'm holding on to something here, like this, and God's wanting me to go that way, There's a stretching starting to go on. Isn't there? There's a stretching starting to go on right now because God has encouraged me and leading me that way, but John's holding on to something here. That's how you get stretched. And the best way not to get stretched is to let go. And my encouragement and my message to you this morning is, what are you holding on to that God's encouraging you to let go? So as He can take you more fully into the things that He has for you, whether that be as an individual, whether that be you as a couple, or whether that be us collectively as a church. People don't like change. They don't like change. People resist change as much as they possibly can. That's one of the jobs, that was one of the things I don't like about being a pastor of a church is you have to speak to people, elders for example, and say, I really feel God's doing this. And they'll say, well, I don't want to do that. Now, I'm blessed with good elders. I'm not saying we're in conflict, but that sometimes is the initial heart response. Why are we doing that? We've always done it like this. I always use Carol Murray as an example. When Carol used to be in the church, before they went back to the States, her and her husband, Kevin, we used to have to set up and tear down this place for church. Nowadays, praise God, we don't have to do that. But every Saturday morning, some of us would come in here and set up for the church on Sunday morning. And one day, Carol used to have banners along this wall. And one day, Carol was putting up a banner on one of the hooks. And I'm standing at the back of the hall, and Carol's over here holding this banner. I went, Carol, that banner doesn't go there. She turned around holding the banner, and she said, why not, Pastor? And I just burst out laughing. I went, why not indeed? I went, Carol, it doesn't go there because it's always hung there. 6 feet. I was resistant to 6 feet of change. I didn't like that change. I didn't want that change because the banner has always hung there. And Carol, that's where it goes. But she challenged me. She said, why not, Pastor? And I just burst out laughing. I went, why not indeed? Hang it where you want. I got free that day. I got set free from a simple thing with a banner. Because somebody dared to change the way we had always done something. It was Carol that made that banner. You should see the other side. You know, and that's because of you that banner's back up. Margie kept saying, where's the banner? Where's the banner? So we eventually yielded to Margie and put the banner back up. But we can sometimes be resistant to change. But Paul said, one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead. And God has been really showing me recently that I'm having to let things go in order to move into the new things that He has for me and for Susan at this time in our life. And you are not exempt from that. Isaiah 43, 18 and 19 would put it like this. Forget the former things, do not dwell on the past, because today, when, David? I am doing a new thing. Do you perceive it? Do you see it? And most of us, some of us, sometimes all of us in the church can't see it because we're too busy holding on to what we've got. And God is saying, I want you to go that way. And we're being stretched and stretched and stretched. And you know what? Eventually, it's going to break. It's going to break. And I'm discovering just let it go. Let it go. Let it go. Who's seen Frozen? I love Frozen. Olaf's my favorite character. Yeah. So praise the Lord. So my exhortation today is, what are we holding on to that perhaps God is saying, let it go. Let it go. God is not the one stretching us. We're actually the ones who are putting ourselves on that rack. You see, that this is what I associated it with. You know, that was a form of punishment, torture in days of old, where they would put you on the rack and they would stretch you and stretch you and stretch you. God's not putting you on a rack. If He is, you don't know God. You don't know God if you think God is putting you on a rack and stretching you. God is saying, come with me. Follow me. I love it how I've been having this discussion with Andrew Roxburgh recently that nowadays shepherds that we know here in Scotland, they shepherd their sheep from behind. If you're rich enough like Andrew, you'll have a quad bike to, or a dog. But they do it all from behind. And I said to him, why do we now do it from behind when traditionally and historically you guys led from the front? The sheep followed the shepherd. And him and I are having ongoing discussions on these things, and I'm sure I'll have him teach on these things. It's his life. He knows all about these things much better than me. So Andrew will share these things with us. But I find it really interesting that shepherds nowadays drive, compel, force the sheep where they need to go, whereas in years gone by, history shows us that the sheep simply followed the shepherd. And for me, this stretching is like God having to coerce and force and pressurize me into going a certain way, whereas all the time he leads me by quiet waters. He causes me to lie down beside still waters and pastures of green. I'm even getting Psalm 23 muddled up, but you know what I'm trying to say. Hallelujah. It says in Matthew, turn your Bible, Matthew chapter 1, and verse 18 says, now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being just a man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took to him his wife, and did not know her till she had brought forth her firstborn son. And he called his name Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. You see, Joseph had a plan. Joseph had a plan, and that was to divorce Mary quietly, secretly. In respect, out of honor, he didn't want to embarrass or whatever, but Joseph had a plan to divorce Mary quietly. But God had a plan. And we see in this wee portion of Scripture that Joseph is letting go of his plan and picking up the plan of God. Perhaps there are things that you're going to have to let go to enable you to pick up the plan of God for your life as it was for Joseph's life. And only you know this thing. I am not a mind reader. I know that we are blessed with the gift of discernment, and when the Holy Ghost permits, we can speak into people's lives. But we are not mind readers. You know the things that God is speaking to you right now that you're holding on to, that God's saying, let it go. Let it go. Why stretch? Why resist? Why fight when we can just yield to the voice and the prompting of the Holy Ghost? So Joseph had his plan. But praise God for the visitation of angels in the story. We all know this story. The word of the Lord came to him. So he laid down his plan and picked up the plan of God. Turn with me to 1 Kings 19. This was something Susan touched on, this very verse. She didn't really teach on this verse. She just mentioned this verse, but again, because I'm thinking of this coming Sunday in the midst of Walsall teaching, I'm thinking, I could use that. So Susan threw away a sentence, and I picked it up. So praise the Lord. So in 1 Kings chapter 19 through 21, 1 Kings 19, 19 through 21. This is talking about Elijah. So he departed from there and found Elisha, the son of Shaphat, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen before him, and he was with the 12th. Then Elijah passed by him and threw his mantle on him, and he left the oxen and ran after Elijah and said, "Please let me kiss my father and my mother, and then I will follow you." And he said to him, "Go back again, for what have I done to you?" So Elisha turned back from him and took a yoke of oxen and slaughtered them and boiled their flesh using the oxen's equipment and gave it to the people, and they ate. Then he arose and followed Elijah and became his servant. Man, there's loads in that wee portion of Scripture which we really could sit here and camp out and spend all day talking about. But I don't want to do that today. I simply want to highlight the fact that Elisha is now burning his equipment. He's burning the plough. He's burning that which brought him an earning. What's he doing? He's laying down his plan and picking up the call of God on his life. And that's where I find myself right now in my own personal walk with the Lord. It's laying down my thoughts, my agendas, my plans, my purposes, and picking up the plan of God for my life. And that should be for us all. It's not just for an itinerant minister. It's not just for a pastor. This is for every born-again believer. And God is saying to us today, there are things you're holding on to that you need to let go. That will ease the discomfort of stretch. And take you, translate you into the rhythms of grace that flow from the throne of God. Amen. It really is effortless when we flow in the Holy Ghost. Elisha, he left everything that he knew and he loved behind. He shows us that to step into your destiny, listen to me, to step into your destiny, you need to leave behind your security. That's powerful. And that's what God has been showing me personally. That I'm leaving behind that which is comfortable. That which I am accustomed to. That which I am used to. And I'm all for change. I actually love change. I do. I love change. If you don't love change, you're missing out on so much blessing, because every day in your life, God's doing a new thing and you're not seeing it because you're waking up to the same old, same old. Life shouldn't be like that with Jesus. It should be an exciting new adventure. What do you call him? Indiana Jones has got nothing on me. I'm having far greater adventures than Indiana Jones could ever dream about. Because I'm excited about change. I am for me personally. I am for us as a couple. We're having to adapt. There are things even in our own relationship that I'm further ahead than Susan in this new season of our life. But there's other areas in our relationship where she's further ahead of me and I'm having to adapt. But I want to change. I will not resist change if it's of the Lord. I won't. I'm going to embrace it. Regardless of what other people might think, I'm going to embrace it because I know it's of the Lord. And I'm excited by it. I really am. Hallelujah. So he knew everything. He left everything he knew and he loved. Matthew 26. Here's somebody else who laid down their dreams, laid down their hopes, laid down their will to bring their will into submission with Father God. Matthew 26, verse 36 through 46. Then Jesus came with them. Who's them? The disciples. Then Jesus came with them to a place called Gethsemane and said to the disciples, "Sit here while I go and pray over there." And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and he began to be sorrowful and deeply distressed. Then he said to them, "My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch with me." He went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, "O my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will." Then he came to the disciples and found them sleeping and said to Peter, "What? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." Again a second time he went away and prayed, saying, "O my Father, if this cup cannot pass away from me unless I drink it, your will be done." And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. So he left them and went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Then he came to his disciples and said to them, "Are you still sleeping and resting? Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is being betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand." Hallelujah. You see, even Jesus had to bring his will into the submission of the Father. Jesus had a will of his own. No, he was God. No, when he came to this earth, he came as a man. He was the Son of Man. He lived as a man. He breathed as a man. He even died as a man. Praise God, he was resurrected as a man. You know, right now there's a resurrected man sitting at the right hand of God. That's powerful. That is so powerful right there. As Chris would say, we could camp out there and just talk about this all night. It's so true. A redeemed, a man is sitting at the right hand of God. But that man had to bring his will into alignment with the Father. And the men and women sitting in this church today, and the men and women who are listening to this message online, we will have to bring our wills into submission of Father God. If you don't want to be stretched, but want to be grown in your faith, encouraged in your faith, built up in your faith, let these things go that you're resisting. You need to quit fighting. You're fighting God. Can I tell you? You'll never win. You will never win. You're resisting God. You will never win. But as we just yield like Jesus did. Where is it? He said, let me find the verse. "O my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will." He brought his will into alignment and into submission with Father God. He let it all go. Jesus could easily have any time went back to be with the Father. He had that choice. He had that will. But because of you and me, he went through right to the very end and accomplished that for which he was sent. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. What are you holding on to? Why are you so afraid of change? Embrace it. Embrace the change. We're embracing change in our lives right now. I'll tell you this. It's great. It is so good. How is it so good? Because we have lined up with what God wants us to do. We're no longer resistant. Susan won't mind me sharing this. Susan was resistant more than me to begin with. She's fully 100% supportive. But there was resistance. Bottom line is, really, nobody likes change. That's why Jesus was crying out to the Father. But hey, Lord, if it's your will, let it be done. So we have embraced as a couple this new season, this new time. Nancy, we're going nowhere. I just want to reassure you, we're going nowhere. We're here. We're more than capable of doing what God asks us to do out there as well as do in here. We're going nowhere. I'm just saying this is where we are because we dare to embrace change. We dare to embrace change. We dare to bring our wills in line with His. We dare to let go of that thing we were holding on to, which was stretching us and stretching us and stretching us. That's one of the very reasons why October 2015, I gave up my business. Yeah, thank you. In 2015, October, I gave up my business because we were being stretched. I was running a successful business, construction business. I was being a dad to my son and daughter. I'm being a husband to my wife. I'm being a grandparent to my granddad to my granddaughter. I'm not a granddad, I'm a papa to my granddaughters. We're pastoring a church. We're involved with other ministries. There's a lot going on. But you know, the thing that I was really holding on to, and I pray that he listens to this, was my son. It wasn't my job. It wasn't my construction business. It wasn't my career, let me call it that. It was I loved to fellowship with my son on a daily basis. I loved seeing him at 7:30 every morning, Monday to Friday. I loved it. I loved his company. That's what I was holding on to. That's what I did not want to give up. That's why I was still working construction. It wasn't so much the business side of it, it was the family side of it. I wanted to spend time with my boy. Him and I have always got on really well. We've got a great, healthy relationship. And that was my biggest struggle. That's what I was holding on to. And I remember praying to the Lord because I knew the day was coming and it was coming fast, that I said, Lord, give me a full order book that I can pass on to him. That was the father's cry for the son. Let me give him at least a year's worth of work to get himself established. Well, eventually the time came because, you see, God was never waiting for... Was I waiting for God? I don't think... Maybe God was waiting for me to make the move, to make the decision. So eventually I gave John a year's notice that in October 15, I'm giving up my business and I'm handing it all to you. And he just kind of looked... There wasn't much excitement. There wasn't much enthusiasm. Truth be told, he went, cheers, Dad. You see, because all of a sudden, he's been a young man working for me since he was around, he left school at 17. He had intended going to the police, but then family came along, so he gave up that side of his life and came to work with us. And just to provide for his wee wife and wee one at the time. And I remember I said to him in the October of 14, in a year's time, I'm passing it on. I'm walking away from it. But it had taken me 5 years to come to that point of walking away from it because I was holding on to John. I didn't want to lose John. And that was my struggle of not seeing him every day. So October 15 came. You see, he'd been working with us since he was 17. And he's now in his 30s. So he's had a weekly wage every week. Well, if you're self-employed, your accountants will tell you to draw from the business and to take a weekly wage. But if you have no money in the bank, how can you take a weekly wage? And I have never in business had an overdraft. I never had an overdraft. In all those years of business, I never had an overdraft. If my mom and dad taught me well. They were the older generation. My mom and dad taught me, well, if you've not got the money for it, you don't get it. That's how we were raised. We were brought up that way, and we have applied these principles even to today. Old-fashioned or not, it's how I am. But John was used to having this weekly wage for all of these years, and all of a sudden he goes overnight. Where's my income? Hence my prayer, Lord, let me give him at least a year's worth of work to sustain him in that first year. Well, the time came, Bill, for the transaction to be done. I handed him work. I handed him the diary. I handed him the workload. All of 3 months. 3 months, Susan. 12 weeks. No. Aye.
12 weeks, you then start to think and get bombarded by the devil. What kind of dad are you? Your son's no longer got a weekly wage. Big-hearted, kind-hearted dad of you have given him 12 weeks of work. You wanted 52 weeks for him. You only gave him 12. What kind of dad are you? All of this stuff goes on in your head. I just thought, well, I can only give him what I've got. So I gave him what I've got. I couldn't believe it, although I should have. I couldn't believe it that within 3 months, he's gone from having 3 months' work to almost a year's work. That boy's just taken it to a whole new level. But here's the thing, I met with him maybe 3 months into his business, managing it by himself. Susan and I were leaving the town this day, and I knew that he was working out in the Annan Road, so I said, I'm going to pop in and see him first. And him and I were having a cup of coffee in the van, just having a talk. And I said, John, I just want to share something with you. I says, as your dad, I says, my heart's desire was just to bless you with a year full of work. And he looked at me and he smiled with a cheeky wee grin. He's like his mother when he does that. But he smiled. He says, well, that didn't work, did it? I went, no, it didn't. I says, but look now. He says, yeah, no, it's crazy how it's went. I went, no, it's not. I says, let me tell you who's behind it. I says, God's got a plan for both our lives, John. And I said, he's been showing me that since I got out of the way, since I let go, since I let you go, God is showing how faithful he is to you as your father. He's far better than your blood, your biological father, could ever provide for you. And look, with the time your biological dad got out of the way, your heavenly father came in, and look how he has blessed you. He never said a word, but the tears rolling down his cheeks said it all. See what happens when you let it go. And here's the amazing thing. My biggest concern was not seeing my boy every day, Monday to Friday, on a regular basis. That was my longing. I just wanted to see him every day. I mean, he stays in Dumfries. I could have saw him every day if I'd wanted. But I wanted that regular fellowship with him because I love him dearly. Well, now, as you know, for the last 3 years, 4 years, I've been going to the gym. Guess who I go with every morning? I go with my boy. I get to see my boy at the start of every working day. I actually get to see him earlier. Before, we used to see at 7:30. Now we see each other at 5:30. God brings him into my life even quicker now. See what happens when you let it go. God's not stretching you. God's encouraging growth. He's encouraging growth. He's encouraging growth in every one of you. Let me close with this scripture. Psalm 31, verse 15. My times are in your hands. My times are in your hands. The psalmist said that. My times are in your hands. Can I just encourage you to let your times remain in his hands? Don't try and take them from his hands. Don't try and let your will be done here in Dumfries. Let God's will be done in your life here in Dumfries. Amen. Father, I thank you for these precious saints. Lord, I thank you that I truly believe that you are not the one who stretches us, but the one who encourages us by your Spirit to grow in the things of God. Lord, you lead us by the still waters. You guide us. Father, we are sheep following our shepherd. And Lord, we want to be like the example of Jesus, like the example of Elisha, like the example of Joseph, even like Paul, who said he was forgetting what was behind and straining towards what was ahead. Father, thank you for these examples from your word. Men who laid down their own ambition, who laid down their own
dreams, who laid down their own ideas and ideology, ideals. Father, they laid all of these, their plans down and picked up more fully the plan of God. Father, I pray today that you help my brothers and you help my sisters here in Glen Aris. You help the brothers and sisters online who will listen to this. Lord, to let things go that you are encouraging us to let go. Lord, that we might let go and move more fully into the things of God. Father, we want to be like Elisha, who showed us that to step into our destiny, he needed to leave behind his security. Lord, show us the things, I pray. Show us the things that we see as security that is not of you. Expose these things that are not of you by your Spirit. And Lord, I pray that we will gladly and willingly give you these false securities and move more deeply into the security that Jesus and Jesus alone can bring. Father God, bless these saints. I know that they long to move deeply with you, move more intimately with you. Thank you, Lord God, that the kingdom of heaven lives within them. Lord, and you're continually, daily drawing it from them and out of them. Lord, help them to build themselves up in their most holy faith. So, Father God, I just thank you that your Spirit is ministering to us right now. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Thank you, Lord. Some of you here are putting your trust in money, in finance. You're putting your trust in that bank balance, not getting below a certain level, or perhaps it's even gone below that certain level. And God is encouraging you not to trust in these things, but to trust in Him. Some of you are putting your trust in your job security. Is there such a thing nowadays? But God is saying that your efforts, your thinking, all goes into that which you do. I want to encourage you no longer to look to the gifts, but to look to the giver of the gifts. Some of you, like me, are putting you're holding on to family. You're holding on to family. You're holding on to loved ones. And can I just say that's good and that's right? But you also need to, as well as hold on, let go and let Jesus be Lord in their life. Jesus loves these people more than you. Loves these family members more than you. Just let them go. Don't be stretched in these areas. Just trust God that He will answer your cry. Some of you are holding on to your ministry. Some of you are holding on to your ministry. For you, your ministry is your identity. Your ministry does not define you. Jesus does. What the Word of God says about you is who you are, not what you're doing. It's not what you're doing. I was accused one time by a musician that I had destroyed their ministry. Simply because I dared to bring another musician in. But the person saw God at work and repented, and hallelujah. Don't hold on to that. That's not your ministry. That's the call of God in your life. It's a gift from God to you to bless other people. It's not your ministry.
Don't let that become your security. Hallelujah. Father, I just thank you, Lord, how your Holy Spirit is just highlighting areas in our lives personally. And Lord, just we come before you today and just we let these things go. We submit these things to you. We yield these things to you. Whatever that issue is, whatever that matter is, whatever that thing is, we submit that to you. And Lord, we now just let it go. We let it go. Enabled now by your Spirit to move and walk freely, without stretching, but growing enormously in our knowledge and love of Jesus. Thank you for the growth of these saints. Lord, they are growing well. They are growing strong. They are growing tall, deep and wide in things of God. Holy Ghost, continue to lead them into the new things that you have for them. Lord, we just banish and take authority over the fear and the fear of change in the name of Jesus. And we command it to be gone from the hearts and minds of the people here in Glen Aris. But Lord, that when you instigate and you bring about change by your Spirit, we will be a people ready to embrace these things. That we will see the new thing as Isaiah prophesied. We will see the new thing that God is doing in our lives and in our church. Because we dared to change. We believed you for change. So Father God, we just thank you. Thank you for this word today. Thank you, Lord, it's still fresh in my own life. Working through things, letting things go in order to move into the things more freely that you have for me and for us. Lord, bless these saints. I know they have a love and a passion for you. And as Andrew Sharp said last week, Father God, let us see now how we can encourage one another over teas and coffees. And all God's people said, Amen. God bless you.